Let's read some from 1 Corinthians. 2nd chapter, 1 Corinthians. 6th verse. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Right. He tells us here that we receive the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which was ordained before the world under this glory. He says here that he would like to speak unto us as unto spirituals. It's his desire to speak to us as spiritual beings. Pointing out once again, we have the wisdom of God in a hidden mystery. Even the wisdom of God that was before the world ever begun. And we have this wisdom of God. It is revealed unto us by His Spirit. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual, then we take on the mind of Christ and we transformate in our mind from one great mystery or understanding to another great unveiling. And eventually the mind of Christ has filled our being and we begin to understand the great, wonderful, hidden mysteries of Christ. He said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. That is, he would like for us to be spiritual. The question would arise in my mind, why would he like for me to be spiritual? The reason is because God is a spirit. And the Bible said they that worship God, they must worship God in spirit and in truth. So then for me to worship God, I must worship God who is a spirit with my spirit. I know that millions of people in the world today, they try to worship God. But they do it through carnality, and they do it through ritualistics, and they do it as of an effort of the flesh and carnal reasoning. And in all reality, when they finished all of the things that they do, they have not worshiped God. For God is a spirit. And to worship God, you must worship Him as a spirit. And you must worship Him in spirit. Or you must use your spirit as to worship God. It's like Jesus when He met the woman at the well. He had a conversation with this woman. And this woman pointed to the mountain or said, "Our fathers tell us that we're to worship over here in this mountain. Or we're to worship in this place here." As in that day, they had the groves and the high places. But Jesus said, "Woman, the time is coming, and now is," in that He was standing there before her, "that they that worship God shall not go to this mountain to worship, but they shall worship God in spirit and in truth." So then, God being a spirit, if I worship God, I must worship God with my spirit. Paul said, "God, whom I serve with my spirit." So then I must worship God with my spirit. I must love the Lord with my spirit. Have you ever heard someone say, "I know that you're doing this, but I just don't think you've got your spirit in it"? That's true. You can come to church and not have your spirit in it. You can do things out of formalism or ritualistics, formalities, whatever, and not have your spirit in it. You know, some man, he likes to go fishing, so he talks you into going fishing with him. But so far as you're concerned, you have no interest in fishing, but to be sociable, you go fishing with him. See, but your spirit is not in it. Your desire is not in it. You're not ambitious toward fishing at all. But the other man, he's just having him a grand time. Because he loves to go fishing. See, and that's the way it is in serving God. I have myself a grand time. I have a jubilee of a time when I pray, when I talk with God, when I go out to win souls, or when I try to do something for God, whether fasting or praying or studying or whatever. It is a sheer jubilee to me. I get down on my knees, and a lot of times when I go to pray, I begin to just cry out on the inside, and I'd say, "Oh, hallelujah, wonderful moment of opportunity." And I'm just crying on the inside, and I'm just rejoicing on the inside. And over I may say such words as, "Wonderful opportunity. God has given me the great opportunity. Once again, I'm living. I'm in the land of the living. I have a chance to say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to your wonderful name." And the Lord sheds forth His fragrance of glory, and I feel myself encompassed with the wonderful blessings of Almighty God. You know, the Lord hath made the body for Himself. He wants the body for Himself. It was not made for another. The Bible teaches that the body is the Lord's. The body belongs to the Lord. And the great dispute as concerning religion is over the body. I bring to you a lot of times where the Bible speaks of the dispute over the body of Moses, and how that the writer of the New Testament, seeing this in the Spirit, spoke as to where the angel turned and said, "Satan, the Lord rebuke thee," over the body of Moses. So then the dispute is over the body, because God, being a spirit, hath made a human body that He might dwell in it, that He might live in it, that the inspiration of God that you feel from time to time might run over the faculties of this body as to the human senses, and that these senses may record the wonderful stimulation and activation of the eternal Spirit as it stimulates this body. Where the Bible said, "And if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, He shall by His Spirit quicken your mortal body." If you have not His Spirit, then you're none of His. And so then the contest goes on. Because the contest is between Satan and God concerning the inspiration of the body. And so then many people, they allow the inspirations of the flesh to eat, to drink, to be stimulated by appetite, or to be moved by the passions of the body as to intermingle one with another. As to have the gullible desires of the world, or the excitement of jewelry, or of money, or the refineries of the world, or to have that spirit of Satan, which is the spirit of the world. to have that Spirit to create an exhilaration within us, to cause us to be stimulated toward things of this life as to monetary values and as to the gain of human flesh, as to that which the flesh desires. For thou savest the things that be of the flesh, the Bible says, speaking of Satan. So then we find that there is a continual warfare as to keep the body from being entwined with those issues of life and with those feelings of life and with those kind of things in life. And the Holy Spirit is forever wooing us and talking to us to get our minds upon the Word and upon the things of God and to have heavenly desire and to let our conversation be in heaven and to be about our Father's business and to go to and fro in the world trying to redeem souls, hating the garments that spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. And so then God is constantly moving upon us so that we'll be stimulated and we'll have joy in serving God. For serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Satan is constantly warring. He wants to woo us to where he can get control of our mind as to create an interest in us toward sports of the world, or toward money, powers, toward prestige and fame and popularity, toward the passions of the flesh, to get control of our human senses, to where our human senses are given completely toward the things of the world and the stimulation of the flesh. And this is what I'm reading to you here in the Scripture. For the Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of the world. He hasn't given us the spirit of the world. Satan is the prince of this world. He's the spirit of this world. And he's the one that has the big laugh and the joke and the drinking and the partying and all of these things that are flashy in the world. And I read to you the other night and preached concerning this, that in the house of mourning, the heart is made better. For in the house of laughter, it's as fools just before the slaughter. Whereas the Bible said it's like the crackling of briars under the pot when the fire begins to devour. So then we find that God is not the God of this world. God is not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. The Bible says that Satan is the God of this world. But God is the God of all eternity. And God is the God that created this world before it fell into the hands of Satan. But today it's in the hands of Satan. And God has said to you and I, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the world, and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then we're told that we're not to love the world. Whereas I say in time past, this was very confusing to me. I've gone to God and I've said, God, why is it that you tell me to love not the world? The world is beautiful around me. And I would say, why do you tell me not to love the world? When you yourself, according to the Scripture, has made the statement that you love the world. And the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to redeem the world back to himself, and also that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I said, how is it that you love the world and you tell me not to love the world? And I heard God answer back to me, and he said, I loved the world when it was in its virginity condition, when it was so beautiful the way that I had made it, when it was clean and when it was pure, when it was the Garden of Eden, and when Adam and Eve lived there, and when there was no sin and there was no corruption and everything was altogether lovely. He said, I so love the world, the way that I created it and the way that I made it, that I gave my Son to redeem the world back to this kind of condition, to bring in what we refer to as the millennium reign. In the day when nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. When all the corruption is gone. When everything will be back to its stages of virginity. This is the way I love the world. He said, but in its present condition, you're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, because the world is under a curse, and everything is under a curse. And the only things that you can have of the world is those things whereby, if you seek me first, all of these things will be added unto you, as to those things that I've given you, and that I've given you all things that pertain unto life. And you are to love me and to seek the kingdom and follow after me. And then I'll run these things through the filter. And then when they come to you, they'll be clean and they'll be good for you. And you can have these things. But like Achan of old, if you partake of those things without going through me and letting me filter those things, then the curse is upon it. And you'll trouble me and I'll trouble you. So then I find out that we're not to love the world in its present condition. God doesn't want us to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're not to be partakers of the world and go out in the stimulation of the spirit of the world, which is the spirit of Satan, which is the lust of the flesh and the thrill and excitement and passions of the human being. We're not to do that. We are not to give our body to that inspiration. But we're to take it from the inspiration of the world and we're to give it to God. And we're to be inspired by God's Spirit, letting this body solely belong to God. And then God will return all of the things that Satan has robbed us of, give us back all of the things that Satan has taken away from us, and we will find ourselves eternally young, eternally strong and healthy, eternally alive, eternally rich, and eternally in power in the wonderful Spirit of God. So then we're battling. It's a continual warfare. It is a battle. Always there's a battle between the body and the soul. Because the spirit of Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And the spirit of Satan dwells in the flesh. And Paul said, within my flesh there is no good thing. He said, for inwardly to will is present, but outwardly how to perform that which is good I find not. So then he said, the human senses of my outer being the creature, have been subjected to the vanities of this world. And my appetite is subject to this which grows in the world. My desire, my feelings are subject to humanity in that we're made for one another. And he said, and I find that this is a death, even a bodily death. Who shall deliver me from the death of this body? And I say again, this is when Paul waxed bold in the revelation and made the statement. He said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, or that is to say my flesh was weak and could not perform it, weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. And so then today, he said, we are dead by the body of Jesus to the world and that spirit. And we are dead to the flesh. And we are dead to sin. And we're buried in the lovely name of our darling Savior Jesus Christ. And sin is no more. They're all gone. I say again, as I do so often, underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, and they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. The songwriter said, praise God, my sins are gone. So I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to the flesh, I am no longer in the flesh. I know when people look at me, they say, you're every bit in the flesh, Brother Pike, I can see it. But the Bible said not to know a man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have known Jesus after the flesh as the one that died for our sins, that come down in a bodily shame as to a configuration of the human form that is sinned against God, being made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so then we have known him after the flesh, having been delivered for our offenses. But now we know him no more after the flesh, for he's been buried. He's gone. He's folded up the law. He's taken it away. And now he's been delivered again for our justification. And today we're delivered from death, in that he rose from the dead as to one man from death. Then all men are free from sin and death, if they're willing to believe on him that rose from the dead. And therefore, as sin came by one man, so has life eternal come by one man, even Christ Jesus. death by the first man Adam, and in Adam all die. Or that is to say, Eve being the mother of all living, in Adam all die. Death by one man because one man sinned. So then now by one man's obedience unto God as to righteousness, all are made alive just because he obeyed. And today he's delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. And we are today clean in our heart and in our life. And though the spirit of the world makes war against us, because we are born again in our spirit, and because we have the kingdom of God within us, because we walk with the Lord, that is to say, if you have his spirit, you are born again. If you have not his spirit, you're none of his, for there's one spirit. And if you don't have that spirit, then you're none of his. But if you do have that spirit, then inwardly the kingdom of God is within me. The law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And we have pressed our way, and men are still pressing their way into the kingdom of God. Pressing, when we say pressing, we're speaking of pressing against the outer man, the inner man. Pressing against the outer man, the inner man being in the will of God, the outer man being out of the will of God. And so the inner man is pressing against the outer man. And there's a continual warfare of the infiltration of Satan, which is in the outer man, and God, when you're born again, as to him that is with the inner man, there's a continual warfare. All of dispute over the body, trying to get the infiltration out of the body. Not that the body is bad, the body is the Lord's, but it's infiltrated. And like a physician that has put someone to sleep skillfully, trying to cut the disease or cancerous thing out of them to save the life, trying to save the body. God is working with us. He has put us to sleep in Jesus. And skillfully, the knife of the great physician is cutting out the infiltration to get it out, so that when we come out of the deep sleep and slumber, as to awake, as to the resurrection, being delivered from the powers of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of our God, into the world of light, that is to say, understanding, coming out of the world of ignorance. All of a sudden we come out and we're whole and we're healthy and we're strong and we're feeling good and we feel like really serving God and we feel free of all of those evil things. So then we find that God hath wrought a good work upon us. He hath done a great thing. He hath not brought death to us. Death came by man, not by God. But he come and he has eradicated death. And he's done away with death. And he's given us that great opportunity to live eternally. And he has restored us back to that beautiful place called Eden. Back into the presence of God. We're no longer in the flesh. We're dwelling in heaven. Having a wonderful time in God. For the Bible said, we're not in the flesh. He's chosen us out of the flesh. We're now hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And we're having a wonderful time. We can now have faith in God. I don't have to worry about this conflict over the body anymore. Though there's a continual warfare over the body, I've already settled that. I've already accepted God. And God has put the body away. And now I'm free from the body. Death, the body was buried, and I went back to God as the inner man, the God who gave the life to the body. And so then at death the life goeth back to God who gave it. So I find myself in the presence of God again. Today I'm in the presence of God. I'm enjoying the wonderful presence of God. I'm able by the Spirit of Christ to keep myself. And the evil one toucheth me not as to my inner man. And any conflict that he causes with my outer man is never charged against me. The Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. And blessed is the man whose sins are gone, are covered. Charity covereth the multitude of sins, even the love of God. Blessed is the man, for the Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputes faith for righteousness. Today, I am not trusting in my ability or my works. God hath imputed faith
even the faith of Jesus Christ, by which I am sanctified, God hath imputed his faith unto me for righteousness. And he will not impute my sins and my trespasses to me, no matter how much I stumble. So then the battle goes on. The spirit of the world is still trying to claim this body. But the angel of the Lord is still saying, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan, for the body belongs to the Lord." Many times when I'm praying, I use the term. I say, "Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, for this body belongs to God, and you don't have any right to it. And I adjure thee by God that you take your hands off." And you can feel Satan break just like that, and he'll go, because the Bible said, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." The first thing the Bible said is draw nigh to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So then I find that when I draw nigh to God and then I resist the devil, taking the shield of faith, I'm able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked, and then Satan turns and he leaves. He flees from him. So, but his spirit is over the body. We're in a continual dispute. And the spirit of the world is trying to claim the body, because Satan has stolen the body through the fall in the garden. He has stolen the body and he dwells in the body. And the Bible said he sits in the temple of God, the body, showing himself that he is God, that he's the one that hath control of all things. And that if you want joy and jubilance, you must follow him. Showing himself to be God, he sits in the temple of God. He controls the weather as to the weathermen and all these things through the intellectual reasoning. Showing himself to be God, and God is put out. And no one wants to praise God and love God and serve God and follow after God and go after the spirit of God. They want to go after the sports of the world. They want to go after the frolics of the world. They want to go after the benefits of the world. They want to be a great celebrity. They're all turning to the world. And the Bible said every man has turned to his own way, as to his own desire, looked to his own quarter for his own gain. And God has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. So then it's by his stripes that we are healed. So we find that the world, Satan is the prince of this world, and this world is going to pass away. For God is going to rain fire and brimstone out of heaven. And the Bible said the very elements being on fire, that the earth shall melt with fervent heat. What manner of person ought you and I to be? In all holy manner of conversation, looking unto and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, when the heavens themselves shall be on fire. So then the earth is going to dissolve. The elements are going to be dissolved. And you and I, the Bible said, looks for a new heaven, new heavens, and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So then come ye out from among them, and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Let's give our bodies to the inspiration of prayer, to the inspiration of fasting, to the inspiration of testifying of the glory of God in the wonderful world to come. Let's give our hearts and our minds to God, that we might meditate in his laws day and night. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that we might let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Whereas the Bible said concerning Paul, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And let's give our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, a holy and acceptable, which is a reasonable service. That all of our time, all of our efforts should be toward God. And like the early church, when they sold everything they had, they took it and laid it down at the apostles' feet, and they did not say anything was theirs. But they fed the widows and the orphans, and they took care of the needy, and they fed the hungry, and they glorified God, and they reached out to try to get people out of sin, where the Bible said, hating the garments that spotted with iniquity, pulling them out of the fire. So then we see the wonderful things that God has done in our behalf. We must come out from the world to be a separate people. We must grow up in God to be a great, mighty, powerful people.
For we're going to rule and reign one day. We're going to control the entire universe. We're going to control all of this present world right here. All of these things. God is going to purge this world. And he said that he would purge out the old leaven and we would be a new lump. And the Bible said that he would take away everything that offended. And in the end of the world, he would send his angels and he would divide asunder. And he would sever the just from the unjust, or take the unjust and bind them into bundles and then put them in the fire to burn them. But he would take the wheat and gather it into the garners, that in the day of harvest, you and I as the good grain may be saved from the awful, awful enemy that has planted the tares. So then we see that we're living in the world with tares. We're growing up with tares. But that doesn't mean that we are a tare. Because we grow up with the tares. The tares come up in the same fields. Same fields where the wheat comes up. That doesn't mean that the wheat is tares. So then God is going to divide asunder. And we're now moving into the end of the world. Where these angelic beings are beginning to settle. And we see a lot of things taking place. The last message I preached to you was judgment, and that beginning at the house of God. Judgment and that beginning at the house of God. So then we know that judgment is beginning to fall. Sorrow, heartache, the beginning of sorrows. And many things are taking place. But we are escaping the tragedy of life because we are walking with Jesus. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. I told the little thing that Sister Betty mentioned the other night about a great man of God that there was taking him out to the stakes that was going to burn him. And when the soldiers came for him, they apparently abused him in some ways, caused him to break his leg. But he was one that constantly affirmed that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And when the leg was broken, though they mocked him, he still said, "It is for my good. It will work to my good." And you remember I pointed out how that Mary, maybe Bloody Mary, they called her, would have taken his life. But as Mary was going to take his life, then the broken leg stayed the execution for a day. And in that night, Mary died. And when Elizabeth came in as to the following, then she pardoned him and freed him. So it all worked out for his good. So you see, God is with us and God is for us. And the Bible said, if God be for you, who then can be against you? For if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. We are not robbed of the things of the world because we serve God. Don't ever let Satan tell you that you don't have anything as pertaining to that which God has created. God has given you all things that pertain unto life. But when you gullibly go after them, and you go after them in your first birth, before you're born again experience, and you go out to get these things, you go out to your own hurt. Because Satan is motivating and Satan is moving you. And that's the land of Esau, and that's Esau that's going after those things. And it is under the curse and it is death. But when you're born again, God runs all of these things through the filter. And God, the Bible said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. For my blessings maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And he said, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. If you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. So then God has given us the abundance of all things. But God doesn't want us to place our affection on those things. See, children of God, here's where the mistake is. The people of the world love the things of the world. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. For you're to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. See, if the love of the world is in you, then the love of God and the things of God are not there.
So then, when you are in the tribe of Esau, when you're born to the first man, Adam, then you go after the things of the world and you love the things of the world. And to love those things is to be carnally minded. And to be carnally minded means the infiltration of the spirit of death. The spirit of Satan, the spirit of the world, the spirit that got in Adam, the spirit that took their life. When you love the things of the world, then you are under the control of the mind of Satan. Because the Bible said he saveth the love the things of the world in that he's cut off from heavenly things. So then when you love the things of the world, then you are of the bond's child. You are of the first man, Adam. In Adam all die. You've never been born again. You don't have eternal life. And you are the bond's child. As to Abraham's wife, the bondswoman, and the bond's child, you're under bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, and you desire those things, and your senses, as to the creature, is subject to the vanities of this world. But the Bible says that the creature itself, speaking of the body, it also shall be redeemed from the bondage of this world. Though we don't see it now, we only see the inner man changed by new birth. But the body will be changed at the redemption, as to the purchase possession, as to what we refer to as the adoption when the law comes in again, as the Jews coming in to let us know that it's change of the body. There'll come a time when the body will be changed, when the creature or the individual shall be delivered, the body itself shall be changed into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. That is into the grace. Now then, when we see this, we realize that where the problem is, it is they that love the world. Now, I can have automobiles. I can have gold and silver. I can have the monetary values of life. I can have all the things that God has created. But I must be born again. And I must let God bring these to me. And then I will have these things. But I will not love these things. I will use these things. The Bible said a wise man's substance is precious in his sight. My automobile will be precious to me. My home will be precious to me. The things that God has given me that's necessitated to life are to my joy of real, genuine, wholesome Christian living. All things that pertain unto life, the Bible said God has given them unto us. But we're not to love the world, neither the things that are of the world. We must use the things that God puts in our hand. But we're to never love those things, not at any time. Nor we're never to place our affection on those things. The Bible said, place your affection on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your affection will be, or your love will be. So then, let's not love the world, neither the things of the world. And all that God gives us, let him run it through the filter and let us use it. Let us use it unto his glory. Let it be precious in our sight as to that which is necessitated to life, or as to wholesome living, or that which God has made for mankind, that which is not contaminated. Let us receive it in the hands of God, that the curse be lifted off of it. Even our very body. Our very body is contaminated and under the curse unless we believe in Jesus Christ, that he may lift the curse, that he may fold up the body that's under the curse, put it away. That is to say, when we are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, then the body is gone and the sin is gone and the corruption is gone. And now it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. I'm now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I'm alive eternally now by the foreknowledge of God and what God sees me to be at the great ultimatum of the change of the Thessalonian coming. So then I find that God makes my cup to run over. For me to delight myself in the Lord, God makes my cup to run over. Try me here with, saith the Lord of hosts. See if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. And so then, as David of old said, my cup runneth over. So I find myself filled with the blessings of God, not only the natural riches of life, but the spiritual riches, the eternal riches. and the blessings of God. For the Bible said, I would above all things that ye prosper and that ye be in health, even as your soul prospereth. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper. I say this so often, I say it right hurriedly in finding a place to close here. God wants you to prosper. But this is the way He wants you to prosper. He has a threefold blessing, as we often said. And that blessing is the natural things of this world, as to houses, as to land, as to automobiles, as to the monetary values of life. God wants you to have those things. It is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. All things were made for you. All things were made for you. And someday God is going to lift the curse and give you all those things back. He's already given to you, given them to you in Christ. But you must believe. You must run them through the filter. So then He wants you to have the natural blessings of life. I would that ye prosper as to the natural blessings of life. Even as your soul prospereth, which is the spiritual blessings of life. God wants you to have the natural blessings of life. He wants you to have the physical blessings of life. He wants you to have the spiritual blessings of life. The physical blessings of health. To where you can feel good in your body. To where the diseases are gone. Not all broken up. Not in an insane asylum. Not mentally incapacitated as in life. God wants you to have your health. I would above all things that ye prosper to the natural side of life. I would that ye prosper and be in health as to your physical prosperity, even as your soul prospereth, because He wants your soul to prosper in the spiritual things of God, as to have joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness to flood your being, that you might serve God with great jubilance and joy. For serving God is joy within the Spirit. Not in eats and drinks and meats and drinks. That doesn't profit anybody. God is a Spirit. We worship Him with our spirit. It's a great, jubilant, joyful spirit of holy, godly living, wholesome joy in doing the will of the Father, establishing His kingdom within the earth. That His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, that is to say that it's done in your body even as it's done in your spirit. So then we find that God wants us to have the natural things of life, but He wants us to have the physical health to enjoy them once we get them. A lot of people have them and don't have health to enjoy them. Solomon said this is an evil under the sun, whereas God has given some man everything that he could want, but hath not given him the power to eat thereof. Like it was said of the great man Foad, that invented the Foad, was said on one occasion that he said to an individual that I would give all of my wealth if I could eat one little can of sardines with some soda crackers and not have pain and misery and hurt. And other great men have experienced the same thing. So see, God wants you to have eternal health. And He wants you to have an eternal security in the spirit of joy and jubilance, to where it'll be a joy to live. For life is a great joy and a quickening. And He wants you to have that on an eternal basis, as an eternal security, where you'll never lose that prosperity as to the houses and the lands and the things that God has made for you. And to where you'll always have that health that physically God has given to you, that it might be with you in the world of physics forever. And so then God wants you to have that wealth as the world eternally. He wants you and all of the things therein that He hath made for you, as Adam and Eve in the garden. And He wants you to have the same health that Adam and Eve had in the garden. But He wants you to have His spirit within the body and get rid of Satan, for he is misery. He's the thief. He's the robber. God gives a little child. God gives health. God gives a wife. God gives husband. God gives prosperity. God gives joy. God created the birds. God created all the beautiful things of the earth and of the world, the stars, the moon, the galaxy, the celestial. God created that. See, but Satan has gotten it through the weakness of man and got control of it. And God is trying to eradicate that spirit of the world and get it out of you. The dispute is over the body, that the body may be moved by the spirit of life and not the spirit of death. That which seems to be life is death, and that which seems to be death is life. So then God wants to take hold of the body and let you walk after this mind of Christ, to where the inspirations will be eternal and be pure and holy and not lustful, not filled with the passions and desire of the human body as to gullible desire, a stooping in the iniquity as to the affairs of this world. So then God wants you to have this eternal spirit as a seal that all of these things will be yours forever. All he has asked of you is to believe what he said. You've fallen into iniquity. You've been lost. I've come to tell you of your wrong. Now I'm telling you that I paid the price to restore you, and all things are now ready to my supper. Can you believe what I say, that all is well with you now because of what I've done? You cannot unless you're born again. But if you're born again, you'll have a heart to believe what he said. And just because you believe it, then you become heirs to all of it, because he's taken care of all of the problems and he's the one that set everything in order. So he sent his ministers to tell you that that's all you have to do. That's called faith, and salvation by faith. Your reward by believing in what he said. Envy hath corrected the whole situation from the froward way. So we find that God is a spirit. We worship him in spirit. We fight against the ugliness of this world, and we give our body to the inspiration of Christ, and it brings us life abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing, and it brings it to us on eternal basis, that we can be alive forevermore. I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. They that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. But we are delivered from the dead, and God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto God. He is the God of Isaac and of Jacob and of Abraham, even the living. He's your God. You that have been born again, you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're closing with those thoughts as to say, threefold blessing, God has given it to you. Love not those things. Use those things. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Don't love the things. Love God who gave the things, and use the things for your benefit and for his glory, and you won't be natural minded and you won't be carnal minded, and Satan can't take the advantage of you to keep you subjected to the vanities of this world. God's mind and God's spirit will have you, and that mind will be spiritual, that mind will be heavenly, that mind will be exuberant, that mind will be filled with great beautiful things of life and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's stand together. Let's worship the Lord for a few minutes in song. We'll always give them a chance that might be here that wants to come to the altar or seek God. Or some that have slipped, some that have grown weak, some that need to renew their strength in God or their covenant with the Lord. Always there's somebody. They meet me so often and talk to me, and some of them are very weary. All right, can we sing together? Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star.
You are fairer, much fairer
than the lilies that bloom by the way. You're more precious. More precious
than gold.
Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are bright, morning star.
You are
Pharaoh, Pharaoh, lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Oh, Jesus,
sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter the morning star.
You are Pharaoh,
Pharaoh, lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, more precious than gold.
Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. What a beautiful thought to know that Jesus is with us. While we've got our eyes closed, our hands lifted up, we're going to sing this little chorus together.
I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, with him. And where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him, all the way. He will give me of his grace and his glory. He will give me of his grace and glory. For he will give me of his grace and glory, and he'll go with me all the way.
Sing this little chorus.
Sweeter each day, sweeter each day is long. Oh, sweeter along life's way, and all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, this love grows sweeter.
Can you sing that one with me?
It grows sweeter each day. Grows sweeter each day. My love grows sweeter. And all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, this love grows sweeter.
One more time, can you sing me?
Grows sweeter each day. this love grows sweeter the long life's way. Through the garden I can hear Jesus say, this love grows sweeter each day.
Just one more time.
It grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. This love grows sweeter along life's way. And all through the garden I can hear my love grows sweeter each day.
Ask Brother Steve Douglas if he'll come up and dismiss us. While Steve is coming, let's remember his love grows sweeter. Brother Steve and Brother Johnny had been working at the, what they call the Father's house, and they'd finished up the ceiling. It looked so beautiful. Everything is going along fine. And in going in and thinking about them working in the Father's house, knowing everything is symbolic, then I realized that Christ within your heart, your hope of glory, is restoring all of the things that the evil years took away. The caterpillar, the cankerworm, the locust. That the enemy took away. And God is on the inside of your heart. He's restoring those things. And while He's working in your heart, He's finishing up the Father's house. For He's doing the work that the Father gave Him to do. He said, I must finish this work. And I must work while it's day, for soon the night cometh when no man can work. Therefore, being children of light, let us work while it is day. And let us finish also the work that the Father has given unto you and I that we should do. Tonight, give your heart and your spirit over into the hands of the Savior. Don't go after the spirit of the world and the things of the world. Follow God with all of your life, all of your heart, and He'll make your enemies to be a footstool. He'll make them to come and bow at your feet and know that He's loved you. And as David of old, He'll take you from among the sheepcote, and He'll give you a name like unto the great men of the earth. And He'll bless you. He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive, that you'll have to share with others. And life will come to you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. I've given you all things that pertain unto life. That is to make your life wholesome eternally. And I've come that you might have life and that more abundant. For I am the Prince of Life. I saw David Paul the other night in a vision standing at the door of Sister Dale's office. And I saw him grinning, looking at Dale. And he said, I'm going to get the prince. I'm going to get the prince. So then, the Prince of Life is with you tonight. And He's inside of your heart tonight. And you have this life filled up and overflowing. For He is the one that came to bring it to you more abundantly. While our brother Steve comes to pray, let's just think on the Lord. Let's search our hearts. Let's examine ourselves. Let's see if we're in the faith as to the hearing of the word. If you're planning to trust God, just reach out and trust Him. Sister Betty was telling me that she was sitting behind Winford. And she perceived that Winford had decreed in her heart a thing is to have their money to go into the continent of Africa to the Nigerian meeting. She said she leant over and whispered and said, "Now if you believe it, it'll work." And Winford, knowing that she'd perceived the thoughts as Jesus perceived the thoughts in the heart, the same spirit, she just kind of grinned. Maybe the following day or immediately following, while on her job, someone came by and said to Winford, "Winford, I'd like to pay your way over to Nigeria. And I understand that they're paying Winford's way and her sister's way and her mother's way over into Nigeria." She decreed a thing in her heart. She trusted God. She tries to live a Christian life. She really genuinely tries to live. A young girl, she stumbles like everybody else. But she tries to live a Christian life, and in so doing, she keeps a clear conscience to where her heart is mellow before God. And when she asks God for something or decrees a thing in her heart, she just believes that He's her friend, because she's trying to do her best, and that He heard her, and that He'll grant her request. And when you think like that, there's nothing to stop it from happening, because the Bible said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." And you begin to think that a certain thing's coming your way. In your heart, you begin to think that. Might as well to get ready to entreat it and enjoy it, because there's nothing that can stop it. May the Lord bless you, Brother Steve. Come.